Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's read from verse 4. And when they came that and when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year, as often as she spoke to the house, went to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. And she greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord, and wept bitterly. And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy maidservant, and remember me, and not forget thy maidservant, but will give thy maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And it came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, Because I've asked him of the Lord. Amen. Now, obviously, we should be quite familiar with this passage, since this is the passage from the beginning of the year, and I'm probably going to touch on it on Sunday as well, just kind of as a late-season reminder of our vision. But here we have Hannah, and she's a godly woman, and she's a few things are happening to her. One, her womb is closed. You know, and two, her rivals are speaking very ill of her, you know, and so there's a lot of pressure over her life right now. There's things that she's been asking the Lord, a specific thing that she's really asked the Lord, and for some reason, the Lord has closed her womb. Now, it's interesting, you know, how it relates to our theme. You know, verse 5, it says, but Hannah would, but he would give to Hannah a double portion, you know, and, but for Hannah, this double portion wasn't enough. You know, for whatever reason, you know, all that she had received, it just wasn't enough. And, you know, that was kind of a picture of 2009, you know, supposed to be for us. Now, what Hannah did is, and this is what I want to touch on more than anything else, you know, today and also this weekend. You know, what Hannah did is in the way that she responded to her present situation. You know, the way that she responded to her circumstance, you know, she didn't go off complaining. You know, she didn't just, you know, oh, whatever happens, oh, I guess that's God's will. You know, she actually, you know, the word says she poured her heart out to the Lord. You know, she gave everything of herself and really cried out to God, even to the fact so much that her prayers became nonverbal. You know, her prayers became almost insane. To the point where the priest, you know, kind of as he's going through his duties, kind of looks at this woman and says, man, what's wrong with that woman? She must be drunk. You know, there's something going on there. And then obviously, you know, they have this conversation. And then in verse 19, or at the end of that, it says, and the Lord remembered her. Right? The Lord remembered her. Now, I'm going to play on this word a little bit differently, you know, than what we typically define as someone that remembers. Now, so you have to ask this question. Did God forget her plight? You know, here's Hannah. Did God forget what she was going through? You know, did God go on a vacation and not understand what was going on with Hannah? You know, did God, you know, just decide, oh, you know what, I'm kind of busy with other affairs, you know, and kind of leave Hannah alone? No. And so when the Bible says that he remembered her, he didn't really remember her because he already knew, right? He was already there. He's our compassionate God that knows and cares. You know, and so let's play on that word a little bit and let's define it in a little different way. You know, I have to look it up in Hebrew and stuff. I don't know how it works out. You know, but if we just simply break the word up, he remembered her, right? In other words, he put her back together. He did something in Hannah's life, you know, because God didn't forget, right? I mean, so let's be very clear about that. I understand what the text is saying, but let's just play on this a little bit. God remembered Hannah. God put Hannah back together, remembered her. In other words, God dealt with Hannah's brokenness. You know, there was something that was not right with Hannah. You know, and so we know he closed the womb, but I think there's probably something else at work here. You know, and I don't quite, you know, I can't read into it so much so. But there was something else at work, and through this time that Hannah goes before the Lord and pours out her heart, there's actually a healing that takes place in Hannah's life. You know, there's something that happens in, you know, and maybe in her character. You know, who knows? She could have been the spoiled woman, right? Who was favored by, you know, her husband, you know, outside of all the other people. Who knows, right? I mean, there's nothing to typify that because we all know Hannah is this very godly woman. But we just throw that out there. Who knows what's happening? But in the process of her pouring her heart out to God, God begins to heal her brokenness. And I want to submit to you that the brokenness was not just in the womb being closed. I think there's something else at work there. And so when the Lord sees fit that whatever this season of her life comes to an end, he remembers, he puts her back together, and she becomes whole. Right? That's what it means to be remembered. Right? You know, we're talking about wholeness here. So I just want to play on some metaphors here. And he remembers her. He never forgot her. Right? Don't ever lose sight of that. He puts her back together, and there you go. And, you know, everything, in other words, the easy way of saying is, the purpose of God in this trial has been completed. It's done. See, a lot of times when we go through situations or difficulties or we're really seeking after God for something, so much of our time, we focus on the end result. You know, some of us are looking for a job. Some of us are looking for spouses. Some of us are looking for future. I mean, all kinds of, and our focus is so much on the end thing. Like, if I just get that guy, or if I just get that girl, or if I just get that job, or if I just get this or get that. You know, and a lot of times, you know, God is not so much interested in the outcome, but he revels in the journey. And one thing that you have to never lose sight of is that, okay, so some difficulties, something is hitting my way, and you ask God, is there a purpose to this? Is there something that you want to see accomplished in my life? Is there some character change that you want to see happen inside of me, you know, that brings about, you know, or that because of this trial or suffering or whatever it may be, you know, that there'll be some result in that, you know, and that's when God remembers, right? He puts us back together. He makes us whole, you know, and then whatever the outcome, it happens, you know. But see, but I say to you that the greatest transformation took place in Hannah. See, think about this. If you're only interested in the outcome, when Hannah gets Samuel, she keeps him. You know what I mean? She keeps him. Right? Because it's all about the outcome. But what does Hannah do? She kept her word and she offered him up to the Lord. You know, and Samuel became the greatest prophet in the history of Israel. Right? She was able to let go. I want to submit to you that she was able to let go because God put her back together. Right? There was something inside of Hannah, right, that God needed to deal with. There was something inside of her that God wanted to minister through. And he remembered. He made Hannah whole. You know, and her life became full. You guys know the story. She had kids, more kids, and, you know, became a very wonderful, prosperous woman. And, I mean, just amazing story, right? But there was something there, you know, and God completed something in the part of that journey. I know this is very raw, right? You're going to hear a better version on Sunday, right? So let's close our eyes today. In this thing that you're seeking God for, in this pursuit, you know, the year impossible means a lot of things to a lot of people. I'm going to hit it on a couple fronts. One, have you been pouring your heart out before the Lord? In other words, have you been doing your part in this? And then two, have you been opening up streams in your heart by which God wants to release wholeness to? I tell you, every trial or difficulty that I've encountered in my Christian life, you know, yes, in the midst of it, it was tough. But I tell you, looking, you know, 20/20 hindsight vision after the fact, man, I grew as a result of every single one of them. Not that God did this thing for my growth, but He remembered me. He's slowly putting me back together and making me whole. And that's what God wants to do with every single one of us. So as Pastor Nate leads us in worship today, let's ask God to take His magnifying glass and begin to peer through our hearts and see if there's anything there that we need to come to a place of wholeness in.
We are thirsty. Oh, Jesus, we are thirsty for more of you. We lift our holy hands up. We want to touch you. We lift our voices higher and higher and higher to you. We lift our holy hands up. We want to touch you. We lift our voices higher and higher and higher to you. We are hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty. Oh, Jesus, we are thirsty for more of you.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray and pray over our community. Let's ask God to really give us the strength to pour our hearts out before the Lord. Let's pray for the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ to come and begin to touch us as a church, as a body, that things that people will take as impossible, that the Lord will really just begin to move upon us. Pray for people in your community, in your house church, that you know may be going through a difficult time, and let's just lift them up before the Lord right now. Let's begin to lift up our services throughout the weekend. Starting tonight, let's pray for Cane Roadhouse Church. Let's ask God to bless Jimmy and Bo as they lead. Pray for experiencing God tonight as we meet. Went over Unit 6. Pray for growing in Christ. Their discipleship as they meet tonight as well. The Lord would really draw each member closer to the Lord. And for EG, that we'd be able to hear God's voice even more clearly. Let's pray Saturday morning. Guys are playing basketball. Let's pray for a wonderful time of fellowship and a bonding. In the afternoon, there's an IP and a sister prayer ministry going on. Pray that the a spirit of wisdom and revelation would come over them as they pray God's purposes in his heart. Let's just lift up. In the evening, we have our premarital counseling. That the Holy Spirit would just really breathe upon these couples and just continue to draw closer to the Lord. It's actually our last session. Let's pray for Saturday night and the youth group, that God would just really impact these kids for the Lord. Let's pray Sunday for our two services in the morning. Ask God in the morning, afternoon, ask God to really bless this time, and the Word of God will be preached with power. Let's pray for the Sunday school, the Noah's Ark, that the kids would just continue to grow in the Lord and be loved and covered and protected. Let's pray in the evening we have a training session. For house church leaders, how to pray for people. Let's pray that we'd be equipped fully. In between the service, there's also a personality profile thing that we're doing for the premarital counseling people. And so that sums up our whole weekend before the Lord. Let's ask God to place His hand upon us, and that really that everything we do would be governed by Him and would be initiated by Him and would be glorifying to Him. So let's cover our weekend as a church right now. I forgot also the welcoming will be having their dinner on Sunday as well, so let's just cover them in their meeting. Let's pray for our retreat coming up next week. Let's ask God to just really place His hand upon us, and there just be a real level of excitement, but not just excitement, that there will be an expectation, right? That we would just, because God is so good, that there will just be an expectation that God will move upon us and just really blast us with His Holy Spirit. Pray for our speaker, Stefan, and his family, his wife, and his brother-in-law that's coming. Let's pray for protection and favor and just the power of God to flow through them and the words of wisdom and to really... God, allow Him to really speak to our community. Let's pray for people that are still on the fence about going. Let's pray that God would just really awaken them up and just draw them closer to the Lord, that the excuses would run out and that we would really come together as a church and community. And let's go before the Lord over our retreat. Father, Lord, we bless You, God, for this weekend, Lord, and we thank You in advance, God, for all the awesome things You're going to do in our lives, Lord, through the services, Lord, through engaging people in the marketplace, Lord, and through our fellowship events, God, that Lord, You're just going to come and touch us and transform us, God. Lord, help us as a body, God, to look not to the end, God, Lord, not to the thing that we're after, Father God, but the process by which gets us there. And so, Lord, help us in that process and transform us, Lord. Thank You, God. Lord, we want to give glory to Your Son, Jesus, and all that we do today. We bless You. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today and a wonderful weekend. And we'll see you guys at church this weekend.